The city council is considering measures to address fire victims' needs and to help them return home. Joining us now to talk about the new fire threat the city is facing and how officials hope to help is WNYC reporter Matt Katz. Hi, Matt.
Hey there, Tiffany.
We've been reporting on the threat from lithium-ion batteries, which is, of course, the threat I'm referring to. We've been reporting on that for quite a while. Yeah. So why is the city council now tackling these fire-related bills?
Yeah, those fires are a big part of the reason, you know, the growing legion of delivery workers in the city use these e-bikes to get around, and the lithium-ion batteries that power the e-bikes can malfunction while charging. They trigger these fires that are really hard to extinguish. There were 28 people who died in the city last year from such fires. And I actually took a look at all fire casualties going back many years, and there were more total civilian fire fatalities overall last year, 102, than any year since 2004. So, Yes, anything related to fire has become a bigger focus of policymakers these days.
Got it. The city council is considering doing what, therefore?
Yeah, this is a bipartisan package of 8 bills and resolutions, and the main point is to address the needs of fire survivors in the days and months after the actual fire. Fires themselves get a lot of attention from the TV news. You can also see the smoke rising over a block in your neighborhood. But what happens to the residents, particularly renters, afterward, those needs kind of disappear from the public's awareness. I spoke to some fire victims, and it's apparently really hard to navigate a opaque city bureaucracy to figure out what to do after a fire, like when, how, and if they should return to their apartments. So one bill would create a new city office of residential displacement remediation to kind of centralize support for city residents who lose their homes and lose where they're living following a fire. Another would make an online portal for displaced residents and building owners to share information with various agencies who might be involved in post-fire inspections, and these agencies would also be able to tell them when they might be able to return home. They'd also be able to communicate with their landlords there. So there'd be one spot where victims could ask officials and landlords questions like, what's the status of the inspection? Can I access my apartment and get my stuff? When can I move back in? That kind of thing.
You talked to some fire victims. I'm curious what they told you specifically about these experiences moving back home.
I'd love to play a clip from Anna Besendorf. She had a fire in her apartment that she shares with her fiance in Brooklyn back in 2022.
I was awoken by firefighters banging down my door. There was a fire between the roof and the ceiling in the apartment next door that quickly spread. And we waited outside on the street with all of our neighbors. We saw the firefighters destroying our apartments from the sidewalk. And then when we were let back in, our lives had changed forever.
Well, that sounds harrowing. So what happened after that?
Anna has worked for the city for years, so she figured she'd be really well equipped to understand the process for getting clearances to return home and how it all might work in terms of navigating the city bureaucracy. But she had a lot of trouble with it. She claimed she was first exploited by a fire remediation service that charged her for cleaning her things that were too damaged to even salvage. And then she couldn't figure out how long she needed to find alternative housing before she could get back into her place. So she took this experience and wrote a residential fire emergency response guide. Anna happens to be chief of staff to Councilmember Jennifer Gutierrez, who is proposing having the FDNY distribute a guide of this kind at fire scenes when residents are displaced. Councilmember Gutierrez says fires permanently displace residents from her district all the time, and families wind up shuffling around the city.
An indicator oftentimes are the schools. Like, the principals will tell me, like, oh yeah, they were here for 2 months, but then they had to transfer out. I can't expect my kid to, like, get on a bus and travel an hour and a half because the shelter I'm in is in Southeast Queens and their school is in Bushwick. So the reality is that sometimes families just, like, they'll just leave.
They leave, move out of the neighborhood, and that, Gutierrez says, has the effect of breaking up communities.
Well, Matt, we talked about these bills, what the city council is trying to do, so where does that all stand right now?
A few of them got a hearing last week, and I'm told more are expected to be reviewed in committee in the coming weeks, so we're not necessarily close to having these signed into law, but they're moving along in the process.
Got it. Matt Katz covers public safety for WNYC. You can read his reporting about all of this, these bills that we talked about, and lithium-ion battery dangers right now over at Gothamist.com. Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tiffany.